It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time, online at harvellandcollins.com, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good day, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
And what are we talking about today?
Ben, Wes and I actually all day Friday, last Friday, listened to one of the very hot and new changes in the law topics, if you will, having to do with the North Carolina power of attorney statute. Effective January 1, 2018, which as we know is just a short while away, North Carolina is completely and totally replacing, has rewritten, recodified, all of the statutory law relative to the power of attorney in the state of North Carolina. Now, this is law that's hot off the press, and this seminar last week, Friday, it's called Continuing Legal Education, was sponsored by the North Carolina Bar Association. It was extraordinarily well attended, as one would expect, across the state of North Carolina, and it was also webcasted, if you will, Ben, basically so that we lawyers were able to look at it online if we did not want to be at the bar center in Cary. And the reason I mentioned these kinds of housekeeping rules is just that it really was very well attended and well tuned in, if you will, probably by most every law firm in the state of North Carolina that has anything and everything to do with any kind of estate planning, elder law planning, fiduciary law litigation, all of those kinds of areas of the law. At this point, Wes and I will kind of talk about some of the changes that are going to exist in this new statute. Historically, it has been that our North Carolina power of attorney statute was codified in 32A, and that, of course, is now going to be completely, if you will, rescinded. That law is rescinded and is replaced by all of the law that will be in it's 32C, correct, Wes?
Right. That's right. That's the new statute.
That's the new statute. Now, what I kind of, to go to the kind of a capsule comment on what we have discerned in reading the materials and listening to the six or seven hour education last Friday, is that basically a lot of the changes have to do with access to the court, Ben. When can we get to the clerk of court, get to the superior court as to questions that concern the propriety of the power of attorney? Maybe it's the revocation. Maybe it's the ability to gift. Maybe it is the ability to be the guardian of the person. All of these things in the past have been set forth in our powers of attorney, but there has not been as clear of an avenue for interpretation, declaratory interpretation of the power of attorney as there now will be under the new statute.
So, yeah, the clerk has some original jurisdiction here, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, it sounds like you've been listening to us for a while there, Ben, original jurisdiction. But at any rate, 32C does, I agree with Cecil, it does really define these avenues of where you address issues before the court. And it really defines very specifically what areas that the clerk of court has original and even exclusive jurisdiction in. I mean, when you say, when you kind of use those terms, exclusive jurisdiction, original jurisdiction, exclusive jurisdiction means you have to start with the clerk. Right. You've got to bring your action with the clerk, whatever that might be. It might be an action. It might be a petition for an attorney in fact to be compensated before the services they're providing. And that's one of the things in the 32C statute. It could be one of many things. But then there's always the appeal right that then brings it up to the superior court. We're still in that posture where we go clerk of court and then we go superior court. So that original jurisdiction or is where it begins, but then you have the right to go, you know, up to the next level. And also when you have, you know, as non-exclusive jurisdiction, sometimes you would have the right to bring certain issues directly to the superior court and not right before the clerk.
Right.
So, you can imagine after, you know, listening to 6.5 hours of attorneys on Friday talk about, the new power of attorney statute, my goodness, there's a lot of little nuanced changes here.
Yeah.
But I'll be frank with you. You know, the power of attorney still is just as important as it always was. It's probably even more important now. We're just defining how to deal with specific issues a little better.
It's really where the bumps in the road come in and, how do we handle them?
Right.
Right.
And how us attorneys are really going to learn, you know, how these new statutes operate, I think it's going to be in actual doing, in actual dealing with these issues. But, you know, in issues in the past where an issue would come up and the power of attorney may not address it or the statute didn't address it, and, you know, maybe we're arguing before the court how it should be done as it relates to whatever the particular issue is, if there's a dispute, I think that just about every possible situation that anyone can think of is now addressed in this 32C statute, this very extensive statute. So we'll be able to then, you know, follow this new language as these issues come up. And there's still going to be some interpretation. There just always is. And that's why the law is, you know, it's not something that's dead. It continues to move and breathe and change with cases, so on and so forth.
But the effort is trying to remove some of that wiggle room.
That's right. That's right. And I think that that's something that was probably needed. You know, there's some questions here and there about, you know, things that come up with regard to powers of attorney that I think that the legislature, you know, has dealt with. Now, going forward, folks out there might be listening, thinking, well, Mr. Collins, Mr. Harvell, what does that mean about that power of attorney that I have? Well, the answer to that and the direction that was given by the attorneys at the Bar Center who gave this CLE on Friday was that, well, first of all, you know, an old power of attorney is not going to be invalid just because of this statute. Okay. However, the best practice is to bring your power of attorney document, and what I mean, the attorney's power of attorney document, because we have a power of attorney that we use at Harvell and Collins that is not just a form document at all. It has changed over the years to address issues that have arisen, to track cases that have come down the pike, so as to make things easier for our clients who may need to use that power of attorney. So it almost makes Cecil and I cringe just a little bit to think, oh my goodness, we've worked on this thing forever and it's a great document right now. Now we've got to change it. Well, we really don't have to change it.
Right.
So that's the news to folks out there listening, that this doesn't invalidate your power of attorney. But what we are going to do at Harvell and Collins is we are going to basically work off the power of attorney that we've had and developed over the years, and we're going to add some new bells and whistles to it based on the new 32C statute. So it's going to be similar but better because of the new statute. But this is effective on January 1. So it doesn't mean that on January 1, folks out there with a 2010 power of attorney is no good now.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, we will be sending some information to our clients by newsletter, you know, Facebook, so on and so forth, just to let them know what these changes are. And if they wish to, you know, get updated with regard to that, and that's fine.
At this beginning stage, do you see anything that might be a stumbling block for people with old power of attorneys? Anything in them? I think it's about how you handle problems, not so much the construct.
I think it is, yes, and I would agree with that. And I think that if you had a problem before, you're going to have a problem after. Yeah. And what I mean by that is that, you know, if you had a form power of attorney, there was a lot of conversation with regard to the form power of attorney, the statutory form document during the CLE on Friday. And we just don't like these form documents at all. We don't like the box documents that you can get off the internet. We don't like the documents, you know, that you could get from, you know, these, you know,
various
areas.
Non-legal firms that do that.
That's right. That prepare documents, because what happens sometimes with those documents, although they say they're state specific, they don't really end up being state specific. They're very thin documents that when an issue comes up, and sometimes the individual who signed it now is incapacitated or, can't execute a new power of attorney, we're stuck with that document and it creates issues. So again, that brings me back to, you know, my opinion with regard to this. If you had a problem before that you didn't know about because your power of attorney wasn't specific enough, it didn't provide the language that you may need in the future, like the right to gift in the event that there's some need to, transfer assets for Medicaid eligibility at some point in time. The right to establish trust in the event that's needed for some issue in your family or for long-term health care planning. If you don't have that language in the document in the past, the new statute's not going to really hurt you very much, and it's not going to help you very much either. It's just that your document needs to have these details in it so that in the event, you know, these issues do arise, that we have the authority to do whatever is needed under the circumstance.
Okay, we'll have more in just a moment. If you have questions, you can reach us at 800-818-2255 or call the local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
And we'll be back with more Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak, and Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins every Tuesday morning with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins talking about powers of attorney.
Ben, you know, here on the program, for many years, Wes and I have spoken about the fact that a durable power of attorney needs to have very specific grants of authority. I know our listeners have heard us say that so many times. You know, very highly specific language about, you know, the power to make a gift, for instance, the power to establish a trust, to modify a trust, the power to change a beneficiary designation. Now, the power of attorney that we have used at our office, has these specific grants of authority, because we know as lawyers, you know, working in this area of the law, that that is most important in order to many times, accomplish the objectives that we wish to accomplish. The new act, however, and this is an interesting twist, the new act, 32C again, is going to provide a heightened requirement.
Right.
For these specific grants of authority. And they can be granted only through express language. So what we're seeing here, Ben, is what we've been talking about for a long time on this program. This new act is going to make it the law.
Right.
That unless the power of attorney has a specific grant of authority on these certain things, and we're going to go through some of them, then of course, you know, the power of the agent under the power of attorney is not going to have the authority to do that.
You can't nuance it through some
you
other
cannot
language.
Nuance it. You know, we're not going to be able to argue under a defective power of attorney that, you know, well, we think he or she as the agent does have the authority. I mean, they either do or they don't. The power of attorney either has this express language under the new statute 32C or it does not. So of course, an agent may not do any of the following on behalf of the principal or with the principal's property unless the power of attorney expressly grants the agent that authority. And the first one off the list is to make a gift.
Okay.
The second is to create or change a right of survivorship
on
an account.
Yeah.
Create or change a beneficiary designation. Delegate authority granted under the power of attorney.
You know, Cecil, let me ask you about that beneficiary designation. You know, my recollection is that there is nothing in the old statute about that at all.
There is not.
So that's a perfect example.
Yes.
Where, let's say we had an old power of attorney that indicated that we could use the power of attorney to change a beneficiary under a life insurance policy. Now, this could be a $1 million policy. It could be very significant. Well, if you had that specific language in the power of attorney to allow that to happen, then at least arguably you have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then where does that end up? That ends up in court because the previous beneficiary may not be very happy that the beneficiary designation was changed on that life insurance or that annuity or whatever it may be, that IRA. Now, in this particular situation, the statute specifically states you can't do it unless it expressly states that you can. So what the way that one works is that it keeps us out of court.
Because
if you don't have it, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you have it, you can.
But if you have it, you absolutely can. So there's no issue here with regard to, you know, a gray area, subjectivity, you know, trying to interpret what the rights are. You know, that is a perfect example of how there's an improvement now from 32A, the old statute, to 32C. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good because Ben, What I want to do here is be very practical so our listeners can kind of hear where the rubber hits the road here. I mean, what is happening here is that the new statute is making it very clear that these specialized grants of authority must be in the document.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've spoken on the program, as I've said, any number of times about the fact that we always thought they needed to be there anyway.
Right. Right.
But that wasn't the law. Now that is the law. Now that is the statute. So Wes is absolutely right that, you know, now that these must be included as specific grants of authority under the new law, there will be more clarity. It will be black or white. The attorney, in fact, either has the authority or they do not.
Mm-hmm.
And this will make it more clear for banks, insurance companies, agents, delegatory kinds of agents like realtors, things of that nature, so that they will be able to act with some sense of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, that area has been gray, a little bit more gray than it will be in the future.
Well, the agent still has a fiduciary responsibility. I mean,
they can't
change all the beneficiaries to themselves.
Great. That's a great point. I mean, that's the next layer there. Let's stick on this. Let's stick with this change of beneficiary. Well, just because it indicates that you have the right to change the beneficiary doesn't mean that you
can do so
are acting so in furtherance of the principal's best interest. I mean, you that is pervasive throughout your obligations as a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to act in the way that is in the best interest of the principal. And let's say that you're just a family friend and you've been asked to do this because there's no one else to do it, but the person who signed the principal leaves his entire estate to someone else or the church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't go use the power of attorney that may have this language regarding change of beneficiary in it to leave the $1 million life insurance policy, $100,000 or whatever it is, to yourself because then you're exposing yourself to liability for breach of fiduciary duty.
Right.
So that's a different level. It's a different level. Now that would end up in court.
Mm-hmm.
But at the basic level, if you have the language in the document, then you may do it.
Right.
But you may be subject to liability for doing it.
But without the language,
you can't do it at all. So
when
you contact the life insurance company and ask it for a change of beneficiary designation form and fill it out as power of attorney, then the life insurance company is going to do what? They're going to ask for the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at it. They're going to make sure you have the authority. And they're going to look at it in conjunction with North Carolina law, and they're going to see 32C indicates you can't do this unless it's in the language. So the buck will stop there with the actual evaluation of the statute in conjunction with the power of attorney.
Okay. We'll have more to come in just a moment here as we talk about powers of attorney here on Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. If you want to be in touch with them, you can always get in touch by going online to harvellandcollins.com and visiting them at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City or calling 726-9050 for an appointment. We'll have more to come in a moment. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins and looking at a new statute that governs powers of attorney.
So we've talked about creating or changing the beneficiary designation to waive any kind of right as a beneficiary under a joint or survivor annuity,
mm-hmm.
To change any kind of benefit under a retirement plan, to renounce or disclaim property, including a power of appointment. These are important provisions, Ben. They are very technical, mm-hmm. and I know our listeners are wondering what in the world some of these words mean.
Yeah.
But the right to disclaim is, and having that right in a power of attorney, which is now required if, in fact, there might be a disclaimer, is a critical element in estate planning relative to certain estates that might trigger some sort of tax repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
Many times we in the estate administration will direct or advise that our client disclaim. Well, what if that client is the surviving spouse, if you will, of their 85 or 90 year old husband, and they are 85 years old and they are unable to do that?
Mm-hmm.
The power of attorney gives their agent the authority to disclaim on their behalf. So these are very important grants of authority. We, of course, have always had them in our power of attorney, but they now are going to be required by law to be in the power of attorney. So renounce or disclaim property, including a power of appointment. And then, of course, as importantly and very interestingly, to exercise authority over the content of any electronic communication.
It catches up with the
yep.
age.
That wasn't in the old
yeah. No, that was not in the old one.
No.
That's for sure.
Their phone and their computer, right?
Facebook account.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And Ben, we just have a minute or two. We'll continue to be talking about this as we move into January. But interestingly, you know, then there is this rule 32C2, 201C
mm-hmm.
that we were just talking about the rule against self-dealing. And even if the power of attorney authorizes the agent to do those specific actions that we just discussed, unless the power of attorney provides otherwise, the agent may not exercise that authority under the power of attorney to create in the agent any interest in the principal's property, whether by gift, right, or survivorship, beneficiary, designated, etc., other. So in other words, you've got to now say in your power of attorney
mm-hmm.
that, yes, we will let you change our beneficiary, the annuity, the right of survivorship, but we will also allow you to name the attorney in fact.
Right. Okay.
To change it to the son or the daughter or the neighbor. The friend, if you will. So
this is going to have a lot of twists and turns as we understand it more as it goes into effect in another month and a half or so. And we'll find out more about that as we continue on too. If you want to find out more, you can call on the folks at Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, online at harvellandcollins.com.